This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Second hour of Grant and Danny underway. Let's paint the hour red with the Nats headed to the World Series to take on the Astros at 11:18. We'll get into the Nats and your gut feel on their game one against Gerrit Cole tomorrow night. But right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, our weekly Redskins staple, after a game, Clinton Portis joins us to make sense of what we just saw. And for the sixth time in 7 weeks with CP, we're talking about an L. Clinton, they ran the ball like crazy. They established the run. They're pretty effective, but weather-related, personnel-related, whatever else you want to blame it on, they couldn't throw the ball at all. Not short, not intermediate. Obviously, you weren't going deep in that driving rain. What did you make of the shutout loss yesterday?
Weather, man. If the weather was better, we would have won that game. No.
That's funny. I was like, oh, snap.
I was like,
CP.
Wow. Okay.
You feel good.
Hey, you know, both teams had to play in the same condition. Pre-game, when we were on the field for the little homecoming ceremony, the field was soaked. Like every step you took, your foot just soaked into it. So it maybe didn't seem that way as far as throwing the ball, but if you look at the first half where Garoppolo struggled in throwing the ball, I think he had 9 yards in the first half, neither team could really throw the ball. All of a sudden in the second half, the 49ers found something that worked over the middle. And they found some success and was able to complete a couple passes, whereas we never really got that. I think it was an issue, even if you listen to Case post-game, where he was talking about he had never played in those conditions. And Coach Gibbs used to always have us. We didn't have a bubble. We didn't have that luxury. We practiced in this weather. So when it came to weather games, we knew how to handle the ball. Everything was exactly how we had already practiced it. Whereas in today's game, hey, it's raining outside. Where are we going? To the bubble. That wet ball drill does you no justice. Like wetting the ball, oh, okay, we're going to wet this ball and hand it to you. That's nothing compared to every time you put the ball on the ground, you're putting it in a puddle and you got to execute this snap and raise up and throw it and get your foot in all at the same time. So it was going to be complicated for either team to have a huge passing day. Now, for us, it was just Cooley made a hell of a point this morning saying we had 16 runs or 16 first down attempts, and we ran the ball 13 times and threw it three. And you're getting 3 yards of carry on those runs. And you got 3 yards of carry because you had a couple 15-yard runs. Other than that, you were having negative and one-yard carries. You can't have that on first down. You got to be able to have play action. And we were all excited about the possibility of the running game when Coach Callahan got the call. And when Coach Callahan said, hey, we're going to run the ball. Everyone was looking forward to it. Oh, AP is going to get the ball. But you have to run the ball effectively. And until you do that, and have something to counter, it's going to be really hard to get wins. Like, you can't just run the ball on first down and get to second and eight or second and nine. You got to be able to mix it up. You got to have some play action. You got to be able to take a shot and put yourself in better position. And if you see the early success that the Redskins had, the adjustment made by the 49ers once they brought their next man up into the box, shut all of it down.
Clinton, Grant and I have been talking about this morning, and I want to get your opinion on it. Case Keenum hasn't been very good the last couple weeks, and I know this. Nobody was good yesterday with the weather the way that it was, but if Dwayne Haskins can't hand the ball off 26 times and check it down a couple times, do we have a bigger issue here?
No, I think he definitely could execute the game plans that we've seen as far as handing the ball off and in doing that. I mean, if you're telling me Dwayne Haskins can't handle the 13 or 14 passing attempts that we had, then we missed in the draft. And there's no other way to look at it besides we totally missed in the draft. I think it's more to the development of Haskins. I mean, what are you going to say? Case Keenum don't have the reins to switch the plays and put us in a better play if he sees fit. You know, and we saw that on the fourth and inches call, the fourth and one, where you get all gaps from San Francisco defense and you have a play call right into the heart of their defense. You weren't able to check out and put us in a better place. So I think Haskins really should have the capability of executing this game plan. Now, the issue with me is I think O'Connell has a learning curve. I think Coach Callahan has a learning curve. And as usual, you're steadily losing guys that you need on the field. Now you don't have Vernon Davis. You don't have Jordan Reed. Sprinkle is your tight end. Your offensive line, the right side, is not playing good football. Whereas the left side that we thought, hey, we're missing Trent Williams and we're trying Eric Flowers, who was one of the worst linemen in the NFL the previous years, who actually elevated his game. He's playing at a really high level right now. And then you bring Donald Penn in, they're playing good together. You would have thought the left side of the line would be struggling, but it's our right side. And that was Sheriff and Moses, where we had a lot of success running the ball. Now they're not playing at the same level, and we needed both of those guys to elevate their game, knowing that we didn't have Trent. So I think it's a lot more issues. We keep on talking about Haskins getting the call, Haskins getting the nod. But there's bigger issues than just Haskins on the scene. It's not just Haskins. Haskins is not going to make a huge difference. So if you throw Haskins into this fire, that you, it's kind of a free-for-all. And I've been telling you all this the entire season. If you throw Haskins into this fire and he goes out, and if Haskins would have had the exact same stats as Keenum had yesterday, everyone would be calling for Tua.
Clinton Portis on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Kyle Shanahan came back, and whether it was weather-related or not, you know, he didn't put on the show he would have liked to offensively, but he's got his team 6-0. He and Bill Belichick are the only two head coaches not to lose this year, and that program has established a culture now that's moving in the right direction. Kirk Cousins is on an all-time heater. I mean, he hasn't been this hot maybe other than the 1 month in 2015 when the Redskins won the division. He plays the Skins on Thursday now. It just seems like this is, I don't want to say unfair for fans, but this is a tough stretch here as they've averaged about 6 points per over the last four games, and the irony of the schedule only makes it worse, huh?
Yeah, I would say that too, because Kirk is on fire right now. Dalvin Cook is on fire. I think you see Diggs and Thielen ever since those comments came out. You've seen them elevate their play. And that's what you want to see out of the team. When the team speaks their mind and, okay, we get things done, because early on, I think Minnesota, hey, we're going to run the ball. Same game plan that the Redskins have. We're going to run the ball and play good defense, and that's how we're going to win. Then all of a sudden, the frustration kick in the locker room, and guys say, hey, we're working too hard out here not to get fed. You've seen Thielen, you've seen Diggs have big weeks. Rudolph, I'm sure his time is about to come. What sucks for us is, our scheduling didn't give us a break. When you looked at this schedule at the beginning of the season, you circled some games saying, okay, we have an opportunity to beat this team. We can beat this team. Now, as you look at these games that we have coming up, you're like, what the hell? Like, we're playing them? You know, it seems like we're playing every team that's on fire or hot at the moment. We played the Giants after they had just got hot, which is normally the case. Daniel Jones just provided a spark. We go and play the Giants. Then we get the Patriots. And you see the Patriots are undefeated. Then you get the San Francisco 49ers, and they're undefeated. And now you're going to play the Minnesota Vikings, and they figured out their formula. Then you got the Jets coming in, who just got Sam Darnold back, and they're trying to get their offense started. So you constantly are playing teams that find in their rhythm, and you can't control it.
Clinton, awesome with us as always, buddy. We'll talk to you, I guess, are we doing it Friday after the Redskins play?
Yeah,
we'll get you twice this week, buddy.
Hey, listen, my phone might echo. I'm going on vacation, so no problem. Keep me posted.
Don't mind. Bro. Sounds
appreciate
good, man.
Appreciate you. Everybody needs a vacation. The Redskins defense actually earned one yesterday. They were really, really good. Defensive line. We talk about Matt Ioannidis all the time. I thought he was sensational.
Really good, I thought.
Daron Payne was fantastic. John Allen was great. Those three guys led the team in tackles with John Bostic, who was also awesome. That was just kind of a mano downhill. Everybody's in the box. Stack 22 guys in that pushing matches game that defensive linemen live for in the rain. Made you feel like you were 12 again outside playing youth football. But the D-line really stepped up. Next, Nats, Astros, game one tomorrow night. What is your gut feel on this series? Washington, the biggest underdogs in a World Series in 12 years. How do you feel about trying to knock off a team that won the title 2 years ago, has been in the LCS three straight years?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Five every day, your double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. And at noon, the Beltway Blitz. We're on Twitter, at Grant H. Paulson for me.
At Funny Danny for yours truly.
The Nats are on the road to start the World Series, flying out to Houston this morning, getting ready for the Astros. Houston dismantled the Yankees in six games. New York almost pushed them to a seventh, and then Jose Altuve, who's been unbelievable this postseason for the Astros, hit a game-winning walk-off, ninth inning, two-run home run off Aroldis Chapman, who, by the way, shouldn't have slept since. He got beat on an 84-mile-an-hour hanging breaking ball.
Because he was a little bit high and wide with the fastball, so sometimes a little inside here. Pitchers will throw something different to try to get recentered. He did that and got a strike. Now you maybe go back to the 102? But no, he threw a slider, a cookie, center cut, and Jose Altuve did what Jose Altuve does.
I throw 100 miles an hour from the left side. I can never get beat with 84 miles an hour. That's just the default setting. That's my rule. I'm never getting beat with 84. Altuve, by the way, to be able to hit that pitch when you're geared up and gassed up like he was for 100 miles an hour says everything you need to know about Jose Altuve anyway. But in that series, he hit .348. He was 8 for 23 with two home runs and three batted in. And in the playoffs, he has been a spark plug every step of the way. Look at his combined numbers, hitting .350 with five homers, eight stakes, more walks than strikeouts. George Springer's got two jacks. Carlos Correa's got two bombs. The Astros were not hitting at all, and that really changed the last couple of games. But the theme for them the second half this season, from the trade deadline on, they traded for Zach Greinke. It's starting pitching. And they only have three guys. So in a five-game series, you didn't need more than that. In a seven-game series, you will. They went to a bullpen game in game six. They won anyway. But they've got Gerrit Cole, who can't be scored on. 3-0 with a .40 and three playoff starts. Zach Greinke is their third starter, who's actually struggled a little bit. 15 hits, 10 runs, 14 innings with five walks. And he's given up five homers, so he might be ready to be had, but the Nats have just never hit him.
They have not hit that guy. He has owned them.
And Justin Verlander, who hasn't been on top of his game, but he's got a .209 batting average and 29 strikeouts in 24 innings.
Yeah, ho-hum, he's just great.
He's just been really, really good. So the strength for the Nats all year long is you got the three best pitchers of anybody probably in the National League, maybe the three best pitchers in baseball. When the Astros traded for Zach Greinke, now they've got the three best. So what you do better than everyone else in this series, you're just trying to kind of equal what they do with those three starters. Their lineup's better, not by a ton, but I would say by a little bit.
I'd say it's better.
More walks than any team in baseball, less strikeouts than any team in baseball. And their bullpen is eminently better than yours. So that's where we're at.
This is as good a team as you can assemble in modern baseball. I mean that. That's not hyperbolic. Now, what does that mean? It means that over 162 games, they're going to win the most games. It means over a big sample, they're going to demonstrate their aptitude, and they've done that. It also means that in a sprint, which is what a series is in baseball, I mean, seven is just a fraction of what 162 is, where it's just a different animal when you start talking about a football game or a playoff game in the NFL. This is a, you know, trends emerge. For example, there's a terrific hitter on Houston, Yordanis Alvarez, who is 1-for-22 in the Yankee series. That guy's great. He could have a completely different World Series against the Nationals and feast on the right-handed pitching. He could also be terrible, and that can kind of be his reputation. 20 at-bats out of 600 that these guys will get over the course of a year. So the point is, the Astros, in every way that you can sort of, you know, build up ratings, you would go, offensively, they're probably a 9 out of 10. Starting pitching, a 10 out of 10. Bullpen is probably a 7.5 or an 8 out of 10. And you start going down the list, and you go, some teams have one or two of those things, but not this total score. They're a better version on paper of the Nationals. Now, what does that mean for a seven-game series? They're favored, and they should be, but doesn't mean the Nationals shouldn't show up to the games. Well, it doesn't mean you don't make the flight to Houston.
Were the Nationals better than the Dodgers?
Absolutely not.
How'd that work out for the Dodgers?
Exactly.
Were the Nationals worse than any of the teams that eliminated them in the division series before this year? They were better than San Francisco in 2014. They were better than St. Louis in 2012. They were better than the Cubs in 2017. They were better than the Dodgers in 2016. They lost all those series. Were the Rays better than the Astros in the division series? No, they took them to five games. So who's better? Well, you're right, it's Houston. That's how you should pick the series. That's how you should predict the series. In most sports in the playoffs, the best team doesn't always win. Baseball, I would say more often than not, is going to have maybe a higher percentage of the right team winning because of pitching, because seven-game series are different than just a one-game playoff in the NFL. So how do I feel? I'm skeptical that they'll win the thing, to answer the question we're posing to callers. But, you know, this is less analytical and it is more anecdotal. This team has overcome every hurdle.
That's all they've done.
They have overperformed and outkicked their coverage time and time and time again. And they got one more chance to do it. I'm not betting against them anymore. I said they wouldn't beat the Dodgers, and they did. I didn't think they'd come back and beat the Brewers when they were down 3-0 in the division, in the wild card game, and then 3-1 in the eighth inning, and they did. I wasn't sure that they'd come back and beat the Dodgers when they were down 3-0 in the division series, and they did. So let's give them a shot and see what happens. If they had played seven games with the Cardinals, and this was a very normal ramping up, I'd feel so much better than I do.
It's this week off. That's what it is. It's a week.
The seven-game layoff really is the center of my skepticism, even more so than how good the Astros are. But then you compound that with, I think Max will be great. I think Strauss will be very good and could dominate. I think Corbin will be legit. I think Anibal Sanchez will throw fine. They'll be super competitive from a pitching standpoint in all their games. Are you going to hit Gerrit Cole at all? Are you going to be able to get to Verlander? Perhaps.
Yeah, nobody's done that when you play every day on Gerrit Cole.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And now you add in this seven-day layoff.
So we'll make our predictions tomorrow on the series in terms of how many games and how it all plays out. But the question to answer right now is, what's your initial gut feel? How do you project this matchup going with the Nationals and the Astros? We'll take your calls next. 800-636-1067 is the number. The World Series starts tomorrow. Nats fans, we're paging you at 800-636-1067. We're Grant and Danny on the Fan. We are one day away from the start of the first World Series in Nationals history, and the first World Series that'll be coming to D.C. in 86 years. Welcome back, and thanks for listening. 106.7 The Fan. We gave you a little lay of the land on the Astros. Yes, they have not hit the way they were hoping to in the playoffs, but they got plenty of bats you got to be worried about. George Springer, who's hitting 152 this postseason, has a couple of bombs and is a former 40-homer guy in the big leagues. I mentioned Jose Altuve, who's their MVP. They also got some gritty veteran types, like almost Adam Eaton-level, Howie Kendrick-style grinders. Michael Brantley, a longtime Cleveland Indian, and Josh Reddick, who's a bench bat who plays for them depending on matchups, who hit a big home run in the league championship series. It's just a complete lineup. And what's amazing about them is they're very much built for the long ball and the home run. But generally, that means you strike out a lot, you miss bats, it's tons of swings and misses, that you're not a contact team. They somehow have figured out a way to piece the analytical puzzle together where they hit a lot of home runs, they make a lot of contact, and they're the hardest team in the sport to strike out. That's like eating fast food every day and never gaining weight.
Yeah, so Springer and Alvarez struck out 22 times between them in the Yankee series. So those guys will swing and miss. But then you look at Jose Altuve. Struck out once in 23 at-bats while homering a couple times, including the game winner. Yuri Gurriel, a guy that's built on contact. Carlos Correa didn't strike out a ton. Alex Bregman, we barely even mentioned him. Maybe, you know, a perennial MVP candidate at 24 years old with some actually some really cool historical D.C. baseball ties, by the way. But he's a superstar in the middle of that order. It's 5'8", 170 probably. Hits bombs. This lineup is great. Their pitching staff is great. I don't know, man. Just every time you start running the numbers, you do the math, it doesn't work out really well for the Nationals. But the whole point of this conversation is it hasn't. It didn't work out in May. It didn't work out in June and July when they started to make their run, when they had a 0.1% of representing the National League in the World Series, and yet here they stand. It's beyond a puncher's chance. It's a group that has done more than anybody thought possible. They've done next to the impossible just to get here, just to roll through this postseason the way that they had to. A grand slam home run against the Dodgers in extra innings to propel them here. A four-game sweep beating Jack Flaherty in the process. A pretty good St. Louis Cardinals team that just dispatched the Atlanta Braves. The way that this has all happened has been a fairy tale. There is nobody that says it has to end right now. I mean, seriously. They are.
Don't let the clock strike midnight.
Right? I mean, they're going to put their blue jerseys on, which now are the ultimate good luck charm, apparently, and throw, I don't know, Max Scherzer in game one. Let's punch. Let's fight.
Yeah, and I get the fear of Gerrit Cole because he is on a bender that's probably, well, not probably, definitely, if you go back far enough, never happened before in modern era Major League Baseball. No, nobody's pitched like he's pitched for this long. But Scherzer's had one of those heaters of his own this year. Didn't go as long because of an injury. But maybe he can cancel out seven zeros from Gerrit Cole and you could run that pitching count up high enough to get into the bullpen for the eighth and the ninth and take your chances. Justin Verlander is the American League version of Scherzer in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Game two against Justin Verlander is a very tall order and it's a mountain you've got to climb while pushing a boulder uphill. But you think they want to deal with Steven Strasburg? When Strasburg's excellent, let's say that Cole's on top of his game. If Max is, you might be able to cancel him out. And no other team can say this. Oh, we got Justin Verlander going today, said the Astros. We know we're going to win. He's awesome. If he's good, we're sold. We're in. Nationals feel the exact same way about Steven Strasburg. Other teams can't match their big three with a big three that's just as good. The Nationals can, and that's what gives them a chance in this series that the Rays wouldn't have had in a seven-game series and that the Yankees didn't have. They don't have the starting pitching, not even close. They got a great bullpen and a really good lineup, and they hit a million home runs. It'll make enough contact, though, and those Astros pitchers blew them away. Didn't have enough quality at bats. The Nats, all season long, have been able to string those ABs together. A couple of guys that I think need to be better for the Nationals. I'll actually give you three if they're going to win the World Series than they have been so far. I really like the quality of the plate appearances for Adam Eaton. He has six walks in 10 playoff games and seven strikeouts. So we're talking about balls being put in play and contact. Good things happen mm-hmm. when you hit the baseball in these high leverage situations. It's not like he's been bad, okay? But Adam Eaton is hitting 194 in the playoffs. As an everyday guy, he is 7-36. He's about 100 points below where he hit in the regular season and about 100 points below where he traditionally is. Everything's not about batting average, but he hadn't driven the ball over the fence. I don't necessarily need him to. He barreled a couple balls, had a huge double in the LCS, had a huge triple
in that first inning, yeah.
In the LCS. And he's got three extra base hits in the playoffs of his seven hits. It's just a consistency thing where he's batting second. He's a lefty. They're throwing three righties in a bullpen day, probably another righty against you. You need him to hit higher than 194 in this series. That's the first guy I'll point out.
Uh-huh.
The second guy I'm going to give you that I need to be a little bit better than he's been is Asdrubal Cabrera. And I'm going to go with a similar line of thinking here, Danny.
Okay.
Asdrubal Cabrera, I think all of a sudden is going to be a starter. There's a chance maybe that there's a Dozier day in there. There's a chance that they keep Kendrick at second base instead of DHing him in the American League Park in those
first
2 games.
Maybe use Matt Adams, depending. Right.
But I would actually DH Kendrick.
That's what I would do.
And then I would probably start, frankly, Brian Dozier at second for at least one of those games, depending on his career numbers. But they're going to go as Drubal Cabrera. He had an unbelievable stretch run. He drove in 40 runs in the final 38 games of the season. He's a switch hitter, which means you get one more left-handed bat into your lineup against Cole Verlander and Greinke. By the way, all three of those guys, just incidentally, better batting average against for hitters from the right side than the left side.
Really interesting.
Minimal reverse splits, but meaning Dozier, a righty, might be more favorable than Cabrera, a lefty. I don't know if the sample's large enough that you dig into that. But here's the point. Cabrera's 1-for-9 in the playoffs. Now, he's only struck out once. So, on all 7 of his 8 outs, the ball's in play. But he can't hit 111 if you're going to come back with a win, probably, in Houston. He's going to be up where he's at in the order in a big spot, and he's going to have to come through like he did most of August and all of September.
I love those two calls. And this the one I'm going to add, especially on offense, is the expectation I have isn't fair because Trey Turner's been good. 294 in that NLCS against St. Louis.
He's 286 for the playoffs.
286 overall, was good again in the Dodgers series in spurts. I think he's got to be spectacular in this series. I mean, I think he's got to be in the MVP of the series conversation if the Nationals are going to win it. He has to be a demon. He hasn't stolen a base in this postseason. A lot of that has been circumstance, but that's where I'm looking. I'm looking in. He's a pest. He's on base every time. He's not expanding the zone. He's not swinging through those high fastballs, that's where his strikeouts have come, have been on velocity up. And guess what the first two guys they're going to see are going to do? You're going to see fastballs chest high, and he swung through a bunch of those. He's got to be outstanding, I think, in this series for the Nationals to overcome.
Good luck.
I know, right?
Now, all you got to do is go get on base a bunch against Gerrit Cole and Justin Verlander Zach Greinke. If you want to go with players who have been good, that need to be exceptional, mm-hmm. which is kind of what you're doing with Turner.
Right, right. This is not
Juan
a complaint
Soto.
About Turner. Right, yeah.
Juan Soto, his average way down, about 237. Again, batting average, I don't care that much about. Are you putting the ball in play? Are your outs productive? 13 strikeouts is almost twice what any other National has at this point. Just as an example, he's got the same number of at-bats as Howie Kendrick, and he's got fewer at-bats than Trey Turner. He's got 13 Ks. Those guys have 7 and 8 respectively. Too many strikeouts, not enough contact. You want a little more contact from Soto. Now, he's the only guy on the team with 2 bombs, and they've been huge. But he's also trying to hit home runs, I think, right now. He's got 7 RBI, which only Howie Kendrick has more. He's tied with Anthony Rendon for 2nd on the team. He has been good. Without him, they're not here.
Now,
he won them the wild card game. He tied the division series. They get eliminated in both of those elimination games without him.
Now, but here's the thing. I think that's what you're talking about was true up until game 4. Against the Cardinals. We heard the story when we got to the ballpark immediately. It was pulsating through the stadium. Everybody was talking about it. Juan Soto and Kevin Long were there in the batting cage after game 3 into the wee hours of the morning. 4 really good at bats in that final game.
Oh, yeah, but now he's done nothing for a week.
Well, yeah, then there's the layoff. I mean, again, the layoff is the story. But Juan Soto drives the ball the opposite way a couple times, good swings, and you go, there's Juan Soto. That's
sure.
The guy.
But he got hot at the end of the Dodgers series.
Yes, he did.
And then at the Cardinals series, reverted back to it. To me, it just looks like he's trying to hit a 10-run home run in every at-bat.
He's trying to do something special.
It's the opposite of what has made him so unbelievable at his age over the last couple of years. Rob's on Twitter, and again, you can tweet us at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny. He said, do you two idiots think the Nats have taken the last week off? What expert did you borrow this theory from? He's talking about us being worried about the layoff. Just the history of almost every single team that ever swept through the LCS and sat around for a week getting dispatched pretty quickly in the World Series. That's what we're basing this off of. Just almost every single team that's ever gone through what the Nationals have, struggling immensely after. We're just looking up the history of the World Series.
Like the Rockies, for example, who the Nationals are as big underdogs as 12 years ago, went 7-0 in the postseason, swept through both rounds, kicked everybody's butts, had to wait around for the Red Sox, and got swept themselves.
And here's what I think, by the way, Rob. No, us two idiots don't think they've done nothing. In fact, I know that they've had workouts. Walked over to the ballpark one of the days when they were having a workout. I don't think that having Joe Ross or Eric Fetty throw you a live batting practice on a cold Tuesday in D.C. or whatever it was is the same as getting ready to play Gerrit Cole. When you figure out how to simulate game one of the World Series against the Astros in their ballpark in front of 50,000 and the best pitcher on the planet right now, you let me know. But just like the Rockies, who you mentioned, and all the other examples, and I've got them jotted down in a notebook if we want to go through them all, that have had to combat this, they all had a plan. They all had live batting practice and brought up some minor leaguers and kept it loose. And the Nationals have done everything correctly since they won. There's no amount of work they could have done differently. There's nothing I'm worried about that they didn't do. It's just you've gone 7 days without playing baseball for the first time since spring training.
Yeah, nobody does that. So the Mets had a five-day layoff against the Royals. We're not the same team after they caught fire. You can go back to Kansas City. I'm not Kansas City. Colorado, whom I mentioned. It's happened a bunch, and it's never worked out for the team with the layoff. The team is concerned about it, by the way. Davey Martinez said so.
Hey, the manager, the general manager both said that this could be an issue, but we're idiots, and we think they've been sitting and eating Doritos, I guess. Which Doritos are very, very good.
Do we have any Doritos? I would love some.
They should be eating more Doritos. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Double play. Beltway Blitz coming up next couple of segments. 12-18. Shutout in the rain after the Minnesota game. Should it be Dwayne Haskins' time? We'll get into that in the 12 o'clock hour right here on the Fan.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Eric says, you got to remember, Soto has had lefty specialists pitch to him specifically for the two series. His number of strikeouts are a little inflated because of that. He needs to overcome that, but that is why specialists exist. No, you're 100% right. He is going to be tested time and time and time again. And when you're a really good left-handed hitter, you're going to get a heavy dose of a nasty lefty reliever who basically is put on the roster for you. The Dodgers had a guy on their roster in Kelerick who was the only reason he was on the LCS or DS roster at the time was to get Juan Soto out. I get that. I'm not just talking about, though, that one at-bat per game in the seventh inning. I'm saying in general, first inning of games against right-handed starters, third inning, you can just see a difference in his approach at times. He works his butt off, and as Danny pointed out, I mean, in a conversation I had with Kevin Long, he said they were in the cage till about midnight the evening between games three and four, so that Soto could have a better feeling because he didn't think he'd be able to sleep if he didn't leave with a little more confidence in his swing and his mechanics. So he sorted it out, and he looked much better in game four. You just hope it carries over. But he's been good. He's one of the biggest reasons why they're in the World Series.
Oh, without question.
If you're going to knock off the Giant, I mean, they've already knocked out a heavyweight in the Dodgers, but this is the heavyweight in the game, right? The Astros coming into the year were the favorite in all of baseball to win the World Series.
And rightfully so.
So you have slayed a dragon, to use probably an over-talked-about phrase at this point, in L.A. But they were the best team in the NL. Now you got to deal with the best team in the AL, which is a substantially better league. And all I'm saying is if you're going to beat them, then Rendon, who's been remarkable, hitting .375 with seven batted in 10 games, has to continue to be. Zimmerman, who's given you great at-bats, first off the bench now as a starter, has to continue to do that, hitting .290. And the guys who haven't hit, one or two of them, Kurt Suzuki, 1-for-20. Asdrubal Cabrera, 1-for-9. You know, Brian Dozier, 0-for-6. Someone, Adam Eaton, 7-for-36. Someone's got to get rolling and start to put some hits together.
Well, to me, it's even beyond one guy. Or a couple guys. I think to win this series, you're going to have to beat Gerrit Cole at least once. To win this series, you're going to have to beat Justin Verlander at least once. Maybe twice.
I mean, doesn't the math say that has to happen?
Right?
Or no? I mean, those guys are going to pitch probably four
multiple times, right? So now you start to figure it out. How do we do it, right? You're going to have to do something that not many teams have been able to do. Gerrit Cole has not lost since May. I want to reiterate that. And he's given up one run this postseason, through three starts. He's terrific. He right now is throwing the ball better than anybody alive. To me, it's about the passing the baton. The thing the Nats, when they were rolling, especially in the middle of the season, were doing so well. It's everybody puts together a great at bat, base hit or not, right? Whether it's a walk or not, whether you get on base, whether you line out, you pop out, whatever it is, you see a bunch of pitches. You don't expand the zone like they did against Buehler, like they were doing against Wainwright in the shadows. Everybody hands it off to the next guy, and the next guy does something. Think about the Angels, the team that won it so many years ago, right? The next AB, get to the pen. You've got to find a way to elevate pitch counts. You've got to find a way to get these guys out of the game and take your chances with a bullpen, admittedly, that's been terrific, but anybody but Gerrit Cole, anybody but Walker Buehler, anybody but Wainwright, anybody but Flaherty, whatever it is. And when they've won, they've been able to do that over the course of the year. And I think they know that going in. It's a tough, tough ask.
All right, let's get real quick a double play. We only got a minute or so. But before we get into our Beltway Blitz, talk a little Dwayne Haskins next hour. Let's get a quick double play on the weekend. Your boy had the perfect fall day on Saturday, morning and afternoon.
Uh-huh.
We went to Heartland Orchard out in Fauquier County. Talk about it on the air all the time. Right out 66. Gorgeous little spot. Ate kettle corn, drank hot apple cider, bought some salted peanuts.
Sure.
Some like honey from this orchard where it's like pick your own berries and all that stuff, mm-hmm. apples, whatever you want. Picked our pumpkins. It was just one of those like days out of a movie. It was great.
Beautiful.
Such a perfect day. The baby saw a goat for the first time. Pretty fascinated by
that
it.
That was her first goat, yeah.
She saw a llama for the first time. I don't know how many times she'll see a llama, but that was the first time.
Well, everybody now has a llama at like every event. Have you noticed that?
You got to have a llama.
The llama frequency in our society has shot up.
And at the Heartland Orchard out in Fauquier County, they had a pig race. It was the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Okay.
It was great to watch three pigs race. And Batman, who is the black pig, he got third. He lost.
Mm.
I think Snort beat Sparkle is how it worked.
Was that what the odds said, or was that an upset?
So, Thommy actually wagered on. He was out in Charlestown, and he put money on Sparkle, but he had like a parlay where he thought.
To place or show.
Yeah, Batman was going to get top two, so he lost his bet.
Yeah, I had Batman placing. I didn't really feel good on Snort. Didn't have a good warm-up this morning, so I stayed away from him.
Snort pummeled the field. And by the way, I know why his name's Snort, because I went and looked at him afterwards, and he couldn't breathe at all.
He just snorting all the time.
He couldn't breathe. So they named him pretty well. But it was a very, very good day. And if you're thinking about like a pumpkin, maybe a little orchard day, Heartland Orchard, family run. The guy that like is the patriarch, I think is the word I'm looking for.
Okay.
98 years old. Still like driving around in a pickup on his farm, like making sure everyone's doing the right thing.
Just so active.
Mr. Green, I think is his name.
How about that?
I could be botching that.
98 years old, just running things.
That's my double play. What'd you do this weekend?
We had a full sports day Saturday. Oh, thank you very much. Wolfpack got their toughest test this weekend, GP.
Oh,
the
did
best
we survive
team
in
we
advance?
Played. So they weren't ready. I keep telling the kids, sometimes you get punched in the mouth. Not literally. We hope that doesn't happen.
Let's not do that.
The other team came out right away like gangbusters. Three goals before you could say jump. Team regrouped, came back, and ultimately, again, we don't keep score because they're 6 years old at this stage, but we're getting to that point. That's right. That's the sound of the Wolfpack
that
makes.
That is a 10. So good.
The rebound and subsequent great play, we matched the aggressiveness and energy of the other team.
Can we make this a regular thing?
Ultimately.
The Wolfpack report with this underneath.
The Wolfpack, I would say, probably ended up with maybe a goal or two more than the other team, but it was like a high-scoring affair, very back and forth. But that was what I was most proud of, is the response. Because sometimes you get jumped in the ring, and you need your boys to come in and save
you. Don't turn your back on the Wolfpack. Who led the team in goals?
Let me see. Who scored the most goals? My guy, August.
August killed it?
August is one of my favorite kinds of youth athletes.
The one that makes you look good by winning games?
Well, there's that one. But there are other players, even on this roster, who are way more skilled. And that's not no disrespect to August. But that dude is a bulldog. Does not stop.
Ooh.
Relentless, relentless, relentless. And all you need to be is tough and aggressive until you get to, like, age 10 or 11. Then you need to develop some skill, and he will.
You can't beat the Wolfpack.
He is a tough kid, and I
What's
love
the
him.
League?
The Stoddart Co-Ed First Grade League.
You're done, Stoddart First Graders, if you're not a part of the Wolf Pack. Beltway Blitz next on Grant and Danny.
It's the season to change. It's Edbert Ford, your F-150 HQ. Right meow, get up to $11,000 off below the MSRP on a 2019 F-150 truck. I got a bonus for you. I'm going to tell you about it in a second here, but let me get through some of these deals. Tremendous deals, great deals, terrific. Take advantage of up to $13,000 below MSRP on a 2019 Ford Escape. $8,000 off new Ford Rangers. $8,000 off new 2019 Ford Mustangs. And $7,000 off a 2020, not even 2019, a 2020 Ford Explorer. Now, all those deals I mentioned are phenomenal, right? They're excellent deals. A lot of, you're going to pay less, right? Here's what's so cool. No payments for 60 days. You don't pay Ted Britt Ford anything for 60 days. You understand me? It's to celebrate their 60 years in business. In 1959, Mr. Britt had a dream of opening a car dealership to help folks like me, you, get great deals on wonderful cars. And he's done that. And they've done it for 60 years, right? So you don't pay anything for 60 days, and then when you do pay them, you pay less. Pretty sweet, huh? Go see my pals at Ted Britt Ford. Fairfax, Kentucky. Look away at TedBritt.com. When you go, just tell them.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.